butted out. We had only sort of 15 or maybe even less at that point. And last year we added a further five small groups to us as a church, where we get the chance to get to know one another better and also to reach out to those around us. But this year, 2007, we feel the need to add in a further five groups to take us up to the full 25. So things have gone well there, but we're feeling the need to go on to 25. And the second goal that we had was that we wanted to see 250 people regularly attending across both services, morning and evening on a Sunday. And you might ask, well, why is that? You know, is it just that we've got this thing about fixation with numbers and so on? Well, no, it's the reason is that those numbers represent people. And we believe that God's interested in individual lives. And so that's why we've set that as a goal, because we want to see more and more people brought in. And then the last goal, if you remember, was that over that two-year period, that we would see £250,000 added in to our building fund. And the reason for that is that we recognise that meeting here is great, it has lots of benefits, but it also has a significant number of limitations. And there are all kinds of things that we could do if we had our own premises. So for instance, Breakfast with the Girls, it's only been running twice, but already at the last Breakfast with the Girls, they had over 100 ladies there. And similarly, things with like Emerge. Well, first time out, we had 120 people there. The venue only takes 140, and we're struggling to find venues that are above 100 around Bedford that are suitable for our purposes. And we don't want to be sort of maxed out by venues. We want to be able to include as many people as possible in what we're doing. So that's why we're wanting this year to raise a further £100,000 towards our building fund. So those are the three goals that most of you will be familiar with. But there was one further thing I wanted to mention. This is specific for 2007, and it concerns the budget. We feel that we should go for an 11% increase on what we actually received last year, which is a significant increase. And the reason, well, there's a number of reasons for that. The first reason is to do with the staff. As most of you will be aware, Simon Holly in 2006 was working 4 days a week, and really that began to have a number of limitations, and we felt that it would be right for him to go to 5 days a week in order to do all the different things that God's calling him to. So that's the plan, that he will go full-time, and then everybody else will remain part-time during 2007. But in addition to that, the trustees did quite an extensive review of the staff salaries, those people that work for the church, and compared it with other churches and other areas and business and so on, and really felt that they wanted to raise the staff salaries to reflect how other churches pay staff and that sort of thing. So Royden Lovely and the other trustees embarked on that study, and they've, as a result, decided they wanted to increase a number of the staff salaries. And I didn't fight them off too much on that one, as you can imagine, but we felt it was right that actually that people are paid appropriately. And so that's the first thing. But secondly, there are some other things that we wanted to increase the budget for. The second reason is really to do with training. We've got a number of people we're wanting to see get trained up. Mike, Ewan, Sally and Matt Peacock are all on New Frontiers training, being equipped, and we want this year to continue funding them to do that. Thirdly, we want to keep giving to missions, and we wanted to increase the level of support that we give to the different missionary couples we're supporting around the world. And then lastly, we're wanting to invest in areas like King's Kids, students and welcome, and so on, just helping people find their way into the church. And year on year, we've sought God for increases in finances, and year on year, God has provided. So this year is no exception. And so I'm asking you, I guess, to go away and to consider, what is God speaking to me about in terms of finances? Now, Emma and I are in the process of doing that. And what is God calling you to do to play your part in what's going on here? As ever, just practically, if you're a UK taxpayer, you can gift aid, which means that the tax man very kindly gives us an extra 20% on top of what you're currently giving. There are forms available in the foyer out there if you want more details on that. And also, just to say lastly, as we always do, our finances are pretty much an open book. So if you've got any questions, then please do come and see either Simon or myself or Royden Lovely, who oversees the whole finance team. And we'd be very happy to answer any questions that you might have. Okay, well, that's it in terms of a reminder and update on the goals. Simon's going to come and flesh out some of the details for us. Simon.
Thanks, PJ. Just to flag up for you, you should hopefully have received one of these in your bulletin. Can you just wave them to me so I know that you got them? Blooming Sunday coming up. Thank you very much. If you are sometimes difficult to imagine what it's, or to remember what it's like coming to the church for the first time, but often for people there are a number of barriers they have to overcome, and we've designed a special Sunday for those who come to church once in a blue moon. So if you have family, friends, those who are around who perhaps haven't been for a long, long time to church, but you think, actually, it would be great to introduce them to our community, then I encourage you, bring them along this Sunday. It's going to be a great Sunday. These flyers are not for you. They're to give away. We've got loads of them, so if you want to do your whole street, then feel free. I've got about 10,000 left. No, just kidding. I've got a few left. So we encourage you, just give these away to friends and family, and seriously, if you want to do your whole street and drop them through the door of people in your street, those that you know, then come and speak to Jill or the person at the information desk and we can get a whole load to you. Well, as PJ said, this is our Vision Sunday, and it's a great opportunity for us just to kind of take a break from our normal teaching program. And we every 6 months or so, we like to do this just to give us time to reflect, what on earth are we here trying to do? Why are we here in the first place? We do this because vision is absolutely critical for movement. I don't know if you've thought about it like that. Vision is critical for movement. We live next door to an elderly lady. She's in her 90s. And physically, there's nothing particularly wrong with her, you know, in terms of her mobility and all that kind of thing. But she struggles to get around. Why does she struggle to get around? Because her eyesight is pretty much gone. She can barely see at all. And so she moves cautiously. There's nothing wrong with her legs, but she moves cautiously. She moves slowly because her vision is pretty much gone. Vision is critical for movement. Confident moving forward, it's absolutely critical that we have vision. And it applies to us as a church. It applies to us as individuals. It applies to us as small groups. And the Bible emphasizes this point, doesn't it? Because you may be aware of the proverb that says, without vision, the people perish. Hopelessness is a killer. It is an absolute killer. We need vision. We need hope. We need purpose. And so we're going to take a moment just to look at that today. And many of you will have heard our purpose before. Some of you will never have heard it. But I want to just draw us together in this to remind us why we are here. And if you have a Bible, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. If you're a new believer or not a Christian yet, I'd encourage you to read the book of Acts, and particularly this chapter, because it gives you such a powerful picture of what the church should look like. And we have an image, if you just flick onto the next slide, Evan, of the five purposes that we draw out of those out of that passage. And we're going to not read the passage in whole, we'll read it as we go through. What I'm going to do is actually ask a number of people to come up and share their story of how these purposes were worked out in their lives in 2007. Don't worry, I've already asked them. I'm not going to pick people at random. Well, we could do that. It'd be more fun, wouldn't it? Keep you on your toes. Keep you awake at least. I've asked people to come up and just talk about how God has worked in their lives in 2006 and coming into 2007. The first purpose, though, is know and worship God. It's the north on our compass. In verse 47 of that passage, if you flick onto this next slide, Evan, it says that everything that they did, that this church represented, was done praising God. There was this kind of underlying theme of praising God that filled their lives. And just as the compass, the primary direction of the compass points north, our primary direction, our primary vision and purpose has to be to know and worship God. We didn't just put it as worship God, not just because there's not an N in worship, but because it's about more than that. If we'd have said worship God, you might have thought, oh, singing songs. And if we think it's about singing songs, we have missed it completely. It's about knowing God. It's about encountering Him. It's about walking with Him. Let's welcome up Sarah Oliver. Sarah's going to just come and... It takes a lot of courage to come up here. No, I've got the mic. Sarah's going to tell us a little bit about how God's spoken to her and worked in her life in this last year or so.
This year's actually been really significant in my walk with God. 3 years ago, I moved here, and it was a huge change that I wasn't expecting. And I think in that, I felt really hurt, and I found it really hard emotionally, and kind of indulged in some doubts about God, and kind of shut him out of my heart a little bit. But this year, I've found real breakthrough in my relationship with God. And a lot of that's come through healing prayer, but actually the biggest thing that's done it is me stepping out and doing worship up here. It is a really scary thing for me to do. And it's like a walk of faith every time I do it. But I remember the first time I ever stood up here, I was shaking and really nervous. And I felt the presence of God like I've never felt it, I think, in a long time, maybe even my whole life. And felt Him speak to me so clearly. I love you, Sarah, and I made you for this. And I love it when you worship me. And that's not just because I'm up here, like it's for everybody. That's what we're made for, to worship God. And I think, like, over this year of stepping out in worship, God's really just shown me that worship is actually a tool for knowing him, and a tool for, like, spiritual warfare as well. Like, sometimes in worship on my own and up here, like, I mean everything I'm singing, and I'm totally 100% behind it, but sometimes it's an act of faith, and I'm singing because I have to hold on to those words. They're true, because I'm not feeling it. And I just think, it's totally still a journey for me, but God is teaching me how to trust him, and through worshiping him, and through stepping out in faith and worship, and he's teaching me about himself, and that he's faithful and consistent. And then when I offer the worship of my heart as a sacrifice to him, even when it's really hard for me, he gives me so much back in terms of confidence and courage and his presence. And it's just been really cool. So.
Right. Thank you, Sarah. Awesome. Thank you. That's great, isn't it? The message that you'll hear spoken here time and time again is that God is not a distant God, but that he longs to connect with each one of us. He is closer than you think, the Bible says. I love that. He's closer than you think. And just as we go on through these purposes, I want to identify a few purpose killers, things that if we allow them into our lives, they will take us out of the game. They will take us out and kill us. And the first one is this: it's losing trust in the local church. Losing trust in the local church. You know, I have been badly burned in the local church in my life. Badly burned. Just this Christmas, I went and had some healing prayer in the States, and a number of the issues that came up were praying through things where I had been hurt, spiritually damaged through things that happened in other local churches that I've been part of in my life. And I worked for a church years ago, I worked for one year for the church, and at the end of that year I left that church, and I made a vow which I've had to repent of, and it was this: I will never work for a church again. And you're thinking, you idiot, what are you doing it now? I guess it's this, because I realized in the journey since then, I got a secular job, and that's great, you know, that it's not that you have to work for the church, but this is what God's called me to. And in the journey kind of through the secular world, which I was in for many years, Jesus said this to me. He said, "You cannot love me and not love my church. You cannot love me and not love my church." Jesus is passionate about his church, and it's messy, and it can be difficult, but it is glorious. When it works right, it is awesome. And that's what he's called us to. And I guess it's this: I realize that I cannot give up on the local church, because Jesus never will give up on the local church. And so I urge you, if you have lost trust, if you've had broken relationships, come before God. Get your heart healed again. Get some people around you, because you can't get out of this thing if you're going to love Jesus with all your heart and walk with him. Because this is where he is. This is what he loves to do. This is the people that he loves to be with. And this church is not perfect. I'll be the first to admit that. But together and through Christ, this place is being transformed. I see it changing year on, year on. And Jesus is doing something amongst us. That's our first purpose. The second is this: equip for service. In verse 43 in that chapter 2 in Acts, it says, "Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need." There's a sense in this church that they were pulling together. They were working together. They were mobilized as a people together. There was a togetherness. There was a heart and soul in them. They were being equipped to work and to be all that they could be. Can we welcome up Rory and Beth? They're going to, can't see them anywhere, but hopefully they're going to. Oh, there they are. Yeah, use this one, but it'll just feed back if you're standing on that speaker.
Okay, well, as far as being equipped for service, can you hear me? The main areas that Rory and I have been involved in have been leading small groups, and this last year we've led a group as well as coaching two groups as well. And I think just when we reflected on it, I think we thought that a few, you know, a year or so back, if we'd realised this year all the things that we'd been involved in, we would have been really overwhelmed. But I think what we've learned is that God has been faithful and just leading us a step at a time to kind of gradually build that up in us with the experience and the gifts that he's given. So we're really excited to be part of a church that's clear about its vision and is supportive in equipping and motivating its members. We can look back over 2006 and see that whilst we were both really hectic and tired with working and studying, God has always given us the grace to do what he asked of us. We've also both been able to lead or help lead healing prayer sessions. And so together with small groups and coaching, we certainly feel that God has provided very specific areas of service for us to be involved in that have stretched us and also grown our compassion and love for the church and our community in Bedford. At the same time as all this, we can see that he's been equipping us for service overseas as we're actually planning to join Drew and Megan Land in Durban in the coming year, hopefully, God willing. So we particularly feel that we've grown in being equipped for service in these areas, developing non-Christian friendships, building community and friendship within a group, challenging and confronting one another, and seeing the fruit of helping people find greater freedom in their lives.
Yeah, just quickly to share a couple of personal stories as well. 2006 was quite stressful for us at the same time, and I remember driving to work one day. I'm a teacher, and I realised over the months that our quiet times with God were diminishing, and we were doing it in our own strength. And I just got to a really desperate place and parked the car on the way and just went for a quiet walk with God. And God just really met with me in that place. And I just heard him remind me, saying, you know, Rory and Beth, you've got to do this in my strength. It's not in your own strength. It's in my strength. And again, just a couple of weeks ago in healing prayer, I was praying for a guy, and I was so tired. A day of teaching, I tell you, just kills you. And I was there, I said, I've got nothing to give, God. I've got nothing to give this guy. And God said, no worries, it's all about me, Rory. So, thank goodness. And so he turned up and just did some really serious business in this guy's life. And it was just such a privilege to be there. And I just thought, it's just all about God for his glory and not about us. And not to focus on ourselves, but just to constantly look at God and give him the glory he deserves.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. The second purpose killer, I think, is that this sense of being afraid or of discounting ourselves. I've got nothing to offer. My gifts aren't worth much. If I give myself, what if nobody gives back to me? These kind of things that hold us back. Some people spend their whole lives longing for high-profile roles when really that what's driving them is a deep desire to be affirmed by people. And then actually God hasn't gifted them in those areas. And actually, if they just did the things that God has gifted them in, has called them to do, they would get the very thing, the very affirmation, the very security from the Father and from the people around them that they're looking for. Listen to Bill Hybels, leader of a church in the States, who says this: what do you have to offer? You have the gifts and talents you're born with, the passions that inspire you, the skills you've honed at home or in the marketplace, the life experiences that have matured you, the pain that has deepened you. So here's what I say to potential volunteers these days: use whatever understanding you have of your passions, your talents, to guide you in a general serving direction. Look at the needs of your church and community, then jump in with a willing heart and an open mind. Don't worry about finding the perfect fit immediately. Give yourself permission to learn as you experiment. Let's not discount what we have to offer to God. He can use us. It's about his work anyway. When you arrived in your bulletin, don't look at it now, but you should have received a guide to serving, which just lays out some of the values of serving here and what we, and some of the different opportunities. There's lots more that aren't there, I'm sure, but just some of the different opportunities and ways that you can get involved. The third purpose is spiritual growth. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that really outlines and sums up our third purpose, spiritual growth, that we are called to grow. The early church had this hunger, this desire to grow spiritually. It wasn't just about do. It was about maturing. It's about becoming and being formed into the image of Christ on the inside. And we place a massively high value on that in the church. I think so often in church it can be busy. But actually it's so important that on the journey we're growing, we're changing, we're doing it as we become more like Christ, not just out of our own strength, as Rory and Beth shared with us. Can we just welcome up Karen Carr, who's going to share something of her journey in this whole area?
Yeah, so last year at the beginning of the year, I didn't quite know what God was going to be doing with me, and I was feeling quite bold. So I prayed, God, do whatever you want with me in 2006 and do a really deep work in me. And he took me at my word and did it. So don't pray it if you don't mean it. He really does do it. The main thing that he decided to bring up in me was just the area of my dependency on him and trust in him. And it just so happened that I was stepping up to begin leading a small group with Dan. And the first thing that kind of came along was we were planning a small group and asking people to come. We were asking loads of people and everyone seemed to be saying no. And I was like, oh my gosh, they were already in small groups or they'd already been asked or that it wasn't right for them. And I began to doubt whether I was called to lead a small group and whether I'd heard God right and whether this was good. And it really pushed me onto God and to go back to him and say, what's going on, you know? And God really spoke to me and said, you just need to trust me. I'm going to give you the people that are meant to be in your group. And I've already chosen them and you just need to keep asking me. And he did that. He gave us an amazing group and people all really fit together really well. And the second area was just in me walking through my fear of making friends with people. And he's been so faithful in that. I knew that once I started leading a small group, that I wouldn't be able to sit back. I'd have to be really proactive in making friends with people. And he's just been so faithful as I've stepped out and pushed through my fear in that. I've just come to realise that actually I need to be completely dependent on him and not get my satisfaction from my friendships. I need to be completely satisfied in him. And he's just done an amazing work in me as I've stepped out and done that. So, yeah, those are the main ways I've grown in 2006.
Right. Thank you, Karen, so much. Thank you. You know, it will kill our purpose if we live behind a mask, if we pretend to be someone that we are not. And I think those of us who've known Karen have just seen how she has grown in this last year. She has stepped out. As she said, she made that bold statement to God. And as she stepped out in obedience, God has changed her. He's transformed her life. And you just saw a picture of something that he has done. Let's make this church a place where the masks are off. We don't have to pretend to be who we're not, but we can just be real with who we are and allow each other and allow God to come in and change and transform our lives. Our fourth purpose then is world and local mission. This passage in Acts starts and ends with people being added to the church growing, a sense of them not just being some clique, some nice little holy huddle, but them being mobilized together to see lost people brought in and drawn into the church. And we exist here because of that purpose, both for the local, to see our friends, our neighbours, the people in this town influence for the kingdom, to get them a picture of who Jesus is, the things we're worshipping about. We want everyone to know about it. We want it, not in some kind of bigoted way, but because it's the truth and we want the reality of that truth to affect people's lives. But also wider, we support a number of those who serve overseas as well. It's both the local and the worldwide, the global. And we run locally here, though, an Alpha course, which is an introductory course for those who are just beginning their journey to find out about Christianity. And Steve Wilson and Sharon Paul oversee that and look after that. Steve's going to share tonight, but Sharon's actually going to share this morning. So, Sharon, do you want to just come up? Let's welcome Sharon up, shall we? Tell us something about Alpha.
Yeah, it was great. It was actually my first time co-leading with Steve because I just started doing like sort of small group styles where we have roughly about sort of 7, 8, 9 people joining in somebody's home. So it's quite a different feel to, say, meeting where we met up in the George and Dragon upstairs, where it's just a lot more informal. And we found actually that people settled in a lot quicker and bonded. And it was just a real sort of, pardon the cliche, like family feel. And I don't know, I found people were really relaxed around us. But for me personally, I found, yeah, I had to really rely on God a lot because, well, firstly, it was quite new, but also it was quite demanding in terms of time because I do shift work. And it was just a matter of, on a weekly basis, sort of giving up, say, from 5 o'clock till sometimes gone late into the hours of the morning, you just pour out. But we just found that often when we were at our weakest and maybe we hadn't prepared enough or felt we hadn't prayed or just struggling our own work with God, God just really broke through that and just surprised us in what he was doing. So that taught me a huge amount in trusting him and what it's about him. I mean, a lot of what Rory and Beth said was really, really key about dependency on him and just get God giving through you, not anything what you can give. Yeah, he uses your natural gifts and talents maybe, but you know, that really blew me away. A couple of other things that I'd really been blessed by was that last year in small group, I've been saying to my group friendship groups that I didn't really have any non-Christian friends, and I was sort of praying about that. And a lot of what we found in small group was that it wasn't just in the session times, in the alpha times, sorry, in the alpha course, it wasn't just in the evening times that people were coming, like we had the opportunity to pray for some people just in the week that were going through stuff and meeting up socially quite a few times. Even just last night I saw two of the girls again because they had birthdays, and it was just really cool. And so we really built like genuine friendships, and obviously people, but basically there was 8 non-Christians and a Christian girl that came along, so it was 9, but 8 non-Christians, and out of that 6 people got saved. Yeah. And a number of those are being built into the church. It's just beautiful to see that, and God just really blew our minds in lots of different areas and what he sort of had in mind. So so God is really faithful.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks so much. Brilliant. Fantastic. I think that's this sense of being on a mission. It takes time. It takes time, doesn't it? I am here because when I was an unbeliever, people took time to pray for me, to care for me. In my case, it was my parents, but in many of our cases, it's our friends. It's our other members of our family. And that's why we're here. And yet, it's so easy to get sucked into, well, now we're here, want to forget everyone else. But actually, God is calling us. You know, we want to make this church accessible to those who are not believers. If you're not a believer here this morning, then you are very welcome here. We want to do everything to make sure you feel at home here, because we recognize there's a journey to come in to find God. The messages that come in from the world are that God doesn't exist or he's irrelevant. But we have found something different, and we want you to join with us on this journey. So that's our fourth purpose. And our last purpose is this: belonging to family. In Acts 2:46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And sometimes you might hear that you might have had negative experience of family, and the word family for you might have negative connotations. But we mean family in the best sense of the world, not a controlling, manipulative, dominating place, but a home, real friendships, real relationships. Things that hold people together. And I think that's got to be at the heart, and that's why we put it at the center of this thing, because it's at the heart of who we are, that we belong together. We don't want to go through 10 years of doing ministry and all the kind of stuff that we can do and think, but I never really knew anybody. Nobody ever really knew me. And I hear that story so often. We can get so busy like that. We don't want those stories in here. We want to belong together and know each other and know that we are cared about and care about others. And I'd just like us just to work out lastly Joy Dyer, who's going to come share something of her story in this whole area. So let's welcome up Joy. You do, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry, I'm not going to be as brave as everyone else. I've written mine out word for word. Okay, it's very easy for me to talk about King's Arms as a family. When I think about family life, there are a great many parallels with church life that spring to mind. My idea of family is having people to hang out with. It's about being there for each other when it's tough and being part of celebrations when life is good. It's about having brothers and sisters who want to know you're okay and who trust you with their own difficulties. Families have mums and dads who make a point of looking out for your emotional and physical welfare. Families have babies and kids to care for. And most families have at least one distant relative whose name you can't ever quite remember, but always telephones just as you're about to sit down for dinner. I won't bore you with the details, but the last 12 months in the personal life of Wes, my son who I come with, and myself, have probably been the best and worst times I've known for a long time. I've known a great deal of hurt in church family and my immediate family, but coming to King's Arms has really proved to be a new family for us both. Wes has been part of a really supportive small group, and I've been delighted to see how much he has been encouraged in his walk with God since joining Innovation. I'm tremendously grateful to the people there who have looked out for him as you would expect your own family to do. I've been part of a small group who have been staggeringly thoughtful and generous when I've been in need of some company or TLC. Friends have rung and called round just when it's been most needed. Our gratitude goes far beyond our respective small groups. In the last year, Wes and I have been invited out for meals, included in activities, checked up on in the nicest possible way through phone calls and emails. We've been offered a shoulder to cry on, a place to talk and get advice, and even offered short-term accommodation. We've been supported in prayer and friendship, and like any good family, we've also been expected to muck in with some of the chores. You are, of course, lovely people, but I want you to hear me when I say that your kindness has been exceptional, and this is because you are committed to letting the love of God transform you. So thank you very much.
So those are our five purposes. The five DNA that describe why we exist, why we do the things that we do. And can I urge you to buy in to these things? If you can find a better church for you in this town, there's a lot of great churches in this town, but if you can find one that's better for you, can I urge you, please go and join it. But if you are with us, be with us. Be in this with us. Don't sit on the fence uncommitted. Don't let purpose killers take you out. Be with us in this journey. Buy in with your gifts and abilities. This is your church. Make it your church. Give from your heart to this thing. Buy in with your finances. I shamelessly say to you, give money to this church. And some of you say, oh, you're talking about money. Listen, I don't know anyone on the staff at the King's Arms who could not earn more working in the secular world. We're not in this for the money. We are not in this for the money. Some people really think that, and I think, no, no. Buy in this, into this with your finances. Buy into this with your time, your energy, all that you have. I urge you, there is nothing better to do. There's no better way than to spend your life on the local church of Jesus Christ. It's not just about time, money and energy, of course. It's about relationships. It's about giving your heart to others. It's about taking the time to allow them to give their hearts to you. I would urge you, join a small group. Get committed to a small group of people. I just want to close and read you a few words from a survey taken in the UK. It was a few years ago, in 2000. A survey of British life found that Britons are more miserable and downtrodden than anyone previously dared believe. We believed a lot, but... And it said this, a quarter of the population, one in four, responded to this survey saying that they feared a hopeless future. One in three felt downright miserable, and one in ten thinks that he or she would be better off dead. Isn't that tragic? Of the nearly 1,000 people that responded to that survey, that was the percentage. That is our nation. That's where we live. That's our friends. That's our family. And in October last year, I had just a prophetic picture in one of the prayer times that we had as a staff team. I asked Liz Barish just to draw it for us, just so I can give you something of an illustration of it. And I saw this scene where there was this city that was like as bright as the sun. It was like surrounded by darkness, but it wasn't isolated from the darkness. It was like this city was a mobile, moving thing. And out of this city, the people were busy mobilizing themselves. They were building these bridges. And some of the bridges were small, just one or two could come across. Some of them were huge, and hundreds of people were coming across. And there was this sense of people going out from the city and drawing people back in towards the light. Some of the bridges were just temporary. Some of them started out small, just an idea. And people were building them. They were reinforcing them. They were making them wider because masses of people wanted to come in through this way. And I felt like God was calling us to be like the people in that city, to be mobilized together to build these bridges. One little girl who is connected to us through Family Link, who's that we say, work with needy families, she said to one of the volunteers, she's only 7 or so, and she said to one of the volunteers who works with her, she said, "Your world is not like my world." And that just broke my heart when I heard that, because I thought, that's so true. Your world is not like my world. And when you understand and have seen something of the kingdom of God in Christ, and it's imperfect now, and we know that, but one day it's going to be perfect. But even the imperfect is unlike anything else out there. It's unlike anything else out there. And it brings us back to where we started, to live as those with vision. Helen Keller, who was an American writer, as we mentioned her in the worship, she was born. And within the first year of her life, she'd been struck down with deafness, blindness, and muteness. And she said this: "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." We can see what it's like. Have we got the vision to do something about it, to make something different in this society? You've heard five people's stories today. What is your story going to be for this year Are you going to give yourself to it? Are you going to take out those purpose killers and invest both in your own life and in the lives of those around you? Let's stand together, shall we? Damien, if you just want to come back, just lead us and pray for us. Jesus. It'd just be great to just finish our time with that last song that we sung, just kind of offering ourselves to the Lord. But let's just pray, shall we? Stay in the band, get ready. Father, we just want to present ourselves to you with all that we have and all that we are and say, God, will you use us? We're imperfect, we're broken people, but God, you've done something in our lives. And we say, God, will you use us to reach out to a broken and dying world whose world is not like our world? And we used to be there, but then we met you, Jesus, and you've changed us. And you are still changing us. And we say, Jesus, come and use each one of us and draw us together. We recognize the forces that would drive us apart, differences and difficulties and fights and falling outs and all of those things. But Lord, we need you to draw us together, to pull us together in love so that we can be a city on a hill, a bright light, reaching out to a dark and dying place. Come and do it in our hearts, Lord, we pray. Let's just sing this song together, shall we?
This is all I have. I've nothing left to give. Please accept this life I'm laying down for you. And this is all I am. I've nothing left to bring. Please accept this song as an offering. And this is all I want. There's nothing else I need. Just to stand before my God and sing with everything. To sing with everything. And you are all I long for. You're all that I do. Everlasting, your glory filled the sky, more precious than a treasure, I will always lift you high, I'll always lift you high. This is all I have. Nothing left to give. Please accept this life I'm laying down for you. But this is all I am. I've nothing left to bring. Please accept this song as an offering. This is all I want. There's nothing else I. Just to stand before my God and sing with.